Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Job chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." The Storytelling Time podcast this week covers chapter 2 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the podcast today is The Aftermath of Disaster. Before we start with our story today, the following are some suggestions on writing a manuscript that were taken from a previously recorded podcast. We will start our story after these brief comments. Those of you who may not be writing a book at this time, I hope that you're gaining some valuable insight about the process. And what I mean by that is that, as I said before, it's a process. It's a process because there's quite a bit of work involved in writing a book. So you not only need to have the time to write, but you also need a commitment from yourself to get it done. And with God's help, it's more than possible to achieve this goal. It's important to write something every day. It will add just a little bit more to your book. Now, you'll have to review and edit what you write, and you'll have to do this over and over again until you get it right, at least right in your own mind. At that point, you can get someone else to look at it, someone to help you edit whatever you've written. And those of you, for example, who might know school teachers, especially those teachers who are in English or composition in that area, they may be good at editing, and you can get them to edit what you've written. But whatever you do, it's very important that you continue moving in the right direction. We will start our story after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. When our story ended the last time, Matthew had been lifted onto an ambulance by paramedics after his fall from a ladder at his house. Yes, his attempt to put those Christmas light fixtures up for Mincy around their house, way up on the second level no less, was not successful. Now, Maggie's mother had more to worry about than how her house looked at Christmas time compared to other houses in the neighborhood. She now had to care for her disabled husband. As the ambulance sped off to the hospital, Missy rode in the back of the vehicle where Matthew was as it rushed through downtown Flint to the county hospital on the edge of the city. Maggie and Fred did their best to follow the emergency vehicle to the hospital in their car, but they could not keep up. Fred drove as fast as he could while observing traffic laws. He had to drive within the speed limit and made several stops at red lights he encountered. "Be careful, Fred," Maggie admonished him as they rushed to get to the hospital as soon as possible. In one instance of their drive, Maggie let out several screams as Fred just missed running into another vehicle. "Oh, Fred! Oh, Fred!" Fred, you almost hit that car. Only the sound of the vehicle's blowing horn saved another disaster on that day, as Fred swerved to avoid a collision. Maggie continued to say in response to that occurrence, Fred, I told you to be careful. After that experience, Maggie tried to calm down her husband as much as possible, so at least they could arrive at the hospital safely. Meanwhile, back in the ambulance, Mincy continued to comfort Matthew as she could sense that the traffic was heavy and could feel the vehicle's speed increase as it rushed to its destination. But it couldn't get to the hospital fast enough for Mincy, given the condition of her husband. Why can't they go faster? She asked herself, still in shock at what happened. The paramedic sitting on the other side of Matthew and overhearing her concern said to her, We'll be there soon, miss. In response to that statement, Mincy said simply, Okay, sir. She realized that the driver was doing the best he could to get Matthew to where he could receive medical attention. Mincy then laid her head on her husband's chest and said, Matthew, okay, Matthew, you hang in there. You're going to be just fine. And don't worry about hanging those icicle lighting fixtures. You're all I care about. At least you're all I care about right now. To somehow ease her pain, Missy started to hum. After humming for a while, Missy continued talking to Matthew, although she was unsure whether he was aware of her statements or not. She just sat there holding his hand, continuing to hum an old gospel song that she had heard back at Mark Methodist. Then she burst out in tears, crying almost to the point of weeping. I just want you to be all right, honey. I love you so much. Shortly after that, they arrived at the hospital. Maggie and Fred had fallen far behind the ambulance in their drive, but eventually they reached the hospital, well behind Mincy and the injured Matthew. They hoped to at least get the status of Matthew's condition once they would get to where Maggie was in the waiting area. When Maggie and Fred finally arrived at the hospital, they found that the front of the emergency entrance was filled with ambulances flashing their lights, indicating many had been brought there to receive medical care, like Matthew. They noticed that some who were there had been injured or clearly in need of immediate medical care for some other malady. Fred thought to himself, those who are brought here are possibly in a life-threatening circumstance. He only prayed that Matthew's situation was not as serious and hoped for him to have a speedy recovery. Maggie and Fred parked their car as close as they could to the emergency entrance. They found a convenient park, then went into the building and the lobby area. Everything was so well illuminated that it seemed almost as though it was daytime, but actually, it was early evening and still busy with people going to and fro in the area. As they were now inside, they tried to find Mincy, who had arrived minutes earlier. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Yes, Maggie and Fred had arrived at the hospital to see Matthew. After scanning over the reception area, they finally spotted Mincy sitting with her head down, obviously devastated from what had happened. They walked over to where she was, and Maggie said to her, "Mama, Mama." Missy looked up and said, "I'm glad you two made it. I saved two seats for you." Maggie then sat down beside her mother with Fred on the other side. "What did they say? Where have they taken Daddy?" Maggie asked her mother. Maggie hoped to get an answer that would satisfy her anxiety somewhat. Maggie wanted assurance that Matthew was getting the care he needed. Then Missy answered her door. "Maggie, they've taken your father to the patient waiting area, and an attendant said doctors would see him as soon as they can. But they could not give me a time when they would return to tell me how he's doing. We just have to sit and wait." Those words did little to satisfy Maggie, but she understood that there was little her mother could do in this situation. They all just sat there and waited, and waited, and waited. They waited for the doctors to return to give them something positive about Matthew's condition. As the hour grew late, there was less and less activity in the emergency waiting area. The area that was once filled with several injured and ill patients being brought in, some on stretchers and others walking around unassisted, was now so quiet that an eerie feeling seemed to permeate the room. Only the sound of wind, rain, and thunder could be faintly heard from inside the building. It was a little after midnight when Maggie, Mincy, and Fred were doing their best to keep their eyes open. The rumble of thunder and pounding rain against the windows was evidence the storm that was predicted earlier had arrived. Yes, the snow that had been predicted earlier had transitioned into rain. Maggie and Fred had hoped to be back home in the Chicago area when the worst of the storm hit. But they were not thinking about that now. They only could hope that the rain would melt much of the snow that had accumulated, so that their trip back home would be less treacherous whenever they would leave. But at this time, their focus was not on the weather or their trip back home. Their concern was only for Matthew. For Fred's part, he almost worried himself to sleep thinking about Matthew's condition. He felt some guilt about the comments he made to Matthew earlier about how ridiculous he looked with that helmet on, not to mention kidding him about that straw hat he had on. But Fred also realized that the helmet Matthew decided to put on probably saved his life when he fell, since it was his head that took the brunt of the impact when he hit the truck on his way down to the ground. Fred had grown to love Matthew over the years. It goes way back earlier when he was dating Maggie long before they were married. Now he could only hope and pray Matthew would be all right. Meanwhile, Missy and Maggie sat on a couch covered by a blanket provided by hospital personnel. They were able to lean on each other and doze off a little as the night wore on. Just before they went into total slumber, a doctor came into the lobby area to relay some news about Matthew's condition. "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Dr. Taylor, and I take that you're his relatives, the relatives of Mr. Downs." "Yes, we are," Missy responded hastily. "Well, how is he?" she asked anxiously. The doctor told them what they did not want to hear. "I'm afraid I have some bad news," he said, addressing Missy directly. "Your husband has a broken spleen and nerve damage, which means that he is paralyzed from the lower back down. He will need assistance getting around, and a wheelchair will be provided for that purpose." "Oh, no!" Maggie shouted before the doctor could finish his statement. "No, Daddy! No, Daddy! He can't walk?" she asked. Crying uncontrollably, Maggie grieved her father's condition. Missy wasn't doing much better as she tried to console her daughter. At that point, in a sense, it was like the blind leading the blind. Both of them were torn emotionally. "Go ahead, doctor," she told him while her arms firmly held Maggie. "Finish what you were telling us." Then he continued, "Well, the good news is that the prognosis isn't final. There is hope. We will need to determine if surgery can help the problem without endangering his life. But it won't be until about a week from now before we can make that determination. In the meantime, I recommend all of you return home and get some sleep. We will keep Mr. Downs here at the hospital for further examination and prepare him for his return home, hopefully within a week or so. But we anticipate him being here for a while. So, as I said, in about a week, we'll have more definitive news for you about his long-term prognosis." "Okay, doctor," Missy responded. "I guess there's nothing we can do now." With that, Dr. Taylor turned and started to walk away from them. Then Missy asked if she could see her husband one last time before they all left for the night. "Sure, all of you can see him. Just follow me," Dr. Taylor responded. With that, Missy, Maggie, and Fred followed the doctor to a room where Matthew was resting. As the three of them came near Matthew, only Fred, while regretting making fun of Matthew earlier, seemed to be holding up well with the devastating news that had been delivered to them. On the other hand, both women had tears in their eyes as they approached him. We'll be right back after a break to finish the show. Welcome back. They all were finally in the room with Matthew. As he was awake and seemed to be alert, Missy finally said to him, "Hello, honey. You're looking well. How are you doing?" Before Matthew could answer, Missy turned and put her arms around Maggie, who was standing just behind her. Missy then whispered to her daughter, "Calm down, Maggie." Recognized her daughter was visibly upset at what she was saying. "We don't want to make your father upset." After those words, Missy turned back to face Matthew and once more asked him, "How are you?" "I'm fine, Missy," he assured her. "I'm sore all over. All over, that is, except for my bottom parts," he told her. Apparently, Matthew was unaware of the diagnosis the doctor had just given Missy, Maggie, and Fred. He did not know the lack of feeling in his lower extremities was because of his paralysis, and he seemed to be bewildered at the somber look on their faces. Matthew's concern led him to ask his daughter a question. "Little girl, why are you crying like that? Cheer up. There's nothing but positives around here." Then Missy said to her husband, "You know how emotional Maggie gets sometimes, honey. And besides, we're all concerned about you." As Matthew laid there, he did see the concern on their faces. He wanted to assure them that everything would be all right. Yes, Matthew's faith was working for him that night, even in the midst of his adversity. Matthew was weak, physically, at the time, but his spirit was as strong as ever. He only desired to transfer that feeling of inner strength that he had to those standing around him, his wife, daughter, and son-in-law. Yes, in his apparent weakness, Matthew displayed and wanted to transfer that strength to them, that inner strength from above, despite his adversity. He remembered the words of the Apostle Paul when he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So yes, Matthew was the stronger person in the room that day, despite his apparent weakness, his physical weakness. He realized that despite their feelings for him, he had to be the stronger person, spiritually. He remembered what the scripture says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Yes, on that day, it was Matthew that was the stronger person, and he knew that it was his responsibility to care for them. Well, that's all for today. And in closing, always remember, whatever you may be going through in life, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you next time.